KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. There's growing talk in the Senate of a less ambitious coronavirus bill with little time to bridge a $2 trillion gap between Democrats and Republicans.
With the two sides so far apart, a growing number of Senate Republicans are signaling support for passing a smaller bill now, even as negotiations continue on a more comprehensive plan. Fiscal conservative Marco Rubio supports the idea, saying, quote, "We're not going to have a universal agreement in place by Friday, so there may be some things that have to be done that way." Fellow Republican Lindsey Graham also voicing support for an interim package. The House is set to go on recess next week. The Senate to begin its August recess on the 10th of August. Bob Agner reporting.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos says he can't guarantee that the company isn't accessing seller data to make competing products, an allegation that the company and its executives had previously denied. His comments came Wednesday during a congressional hearing into the market dominance of four tech giants, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Apple. Testifying before the House Judiciary Subcommittee hearing, Google CEO Sundar Pichai says Google's success is not guaranteed.
New competitors emerge every day, and today users have more access to information than ever before. Competition drives us to innovate, and it also leads to better products.
As Democrats largely focused on market competition, several Republicans aired long-standing grievances that the tech companies are censoring conservative voices and question their business activities in China. A new congressional report says Russian oligarchs are skirting U.S. sanctions through shady high-end art deals. The Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations recommended new legislation that would rein in an unregulated industry that's become a common front for money laundering. Investigators traced $18 million in art buys to shell companies linked to close friends of Russian President Vladimir Putin, who were sanctioned after Russia's 2014 annexation of Crimea. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Who is this prophet to the whole country? Does one man really have the insight to know what's really happening? Get his free book at prophettoamerica.com. Is God's protective hedge around this country really gone? Can we expect worse than the coronavirus? Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com and download the free book, A Fresh Wind. Go to prophettoamerica.com. That's prophettoamerica.com.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids. A farmer once wanted to capture the wild pigs that were damaging his crops. He started out by putting some corn in a clearing in the forest. The pigs found the corn and came back for more free food, which the farmer continued to put out. He gradually built a pen in the clearing, leaving an opening for a gate. So gradually, the pigs were not alarmed. Then one day, when all the pigs were enjoying their free food, the farmer shut the gate, trapping the pigs. There is no such thing as a free lunch. So when politicians start talking about free stuff, be very, very suspicious and start looking for the fence. Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, QHALV.com, 369-1321, QHALV.com.
369-1321. Good afternoon. It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, it's going to be a while. The Las Vegas economic analyst Jerry Aguero predicts it may take between 18 and 36 months for Southern Nevada to recover from the coronavirus pandemic, putting recovery around early 22 or mid-2023. Giving the keynote address at Las Vegas Perspective, Aguero said during the Great Recession back in 2009, we lost 196,000 jobs over 2.5 years. With the COVID-19 outbreak, Las Vegas lost 280,000 jobs in just 2 months. Well, with visitor foot traffic to Las Vegas beginning to slow, Boyd Gaming officials say cost-cutting measures are in place to weather the COVID-19 pandemic. Company president and CEO Keith Smith said while the visitors who are coming to town are spending big, the company will not return to the old way of doing business. They have reopened all but three of their 32 properties, the only three not open: Eastside Cantery, Main Street Station, and the El Dorado Casino. 43,831 cases of coronavirus statewide, 739 deaths.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We got a crash that's westbound Cheyenne at the 15 interchange. The right lane is blocked there. We're also getting some heavy volumes there on the Beltway, 215 west at Green Valley, east 215 at Valley Verde, and a road hazard on the ramp, that's Warm Springs at the northbound airport connector.
Gather around! Washington, D.C., I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Kevin Wall with you on AM 670 KMZQ. I'm so glad you made the choice. I know you've got a lot of choices when it comes to what you listen to on the radio on your way home from work. I get that. I understand that. And that's why I am so thankful that you've chosen us here on AM 670 KMZQ. I love Wednesdays, not just because it's hump day. I mean, it's hump day and, you know, there's something special about it. We are halfway home. But more than that, it's our opportunity to visit with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. I love reading his Muth's Truths, but I really like getting a chance to visit with him and pick his brain. Chuck, how you doing, my friend? How have you been?
I'm doing great, but I got to tell you, after over 4 months of this whole Sisolak shutdown thing, I never know what day it is when I wake up in the morning. They all just seem to be blending in together. There's no real weekend, it doesn't seem.
No, it is true. Things kind of blend together. I didn't even realize till somebody told me the other night that we've been doing this COVID-19 thing for 5 months. Is that right?
Let's see, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
Wow.
So we're in our fifth month, yep.
Isn't that wild? That is absolutely wild. Now we've got, we are on the eve of what we think is going to be another special session, the 32nd. We had the 31st special session. Now, beginning tomorrow, we're going to have the 32nd special session, unless the governor walks that one back, too. First of all, I want to ask you that 31st special session was weird in that normally these things should take 3, maybe 4 days. You had one issue that you were dealing with, and that was the budget. And yet it took 12 days. Why did it take so damn long?
Well, it's pretty easy to understand. You've got the first Democrat governor since the late 1990s who has surrounded himself with, inarguably, is a bunch of incompetents who are completely inexperienced at running the state government. So the governor didn't have his act together when he finally got around to calling a special session. Remember, he was supposed to call it before the end of June, and then he delayed it into July because they weren't ready. And then you've got an assembly speaker, Jason Frierson, and a Senate majority leader, Nicole Cannizzaro. And Cannizzaro particularly, remember, she became the majority leader in the middle of the last session by accident, because the Senate Majority Leader had to resign because he was going to jail. So she has no idea what she's doing. Frierson is out of his depth in what he's doing. Sisolak is obviously completely confused about what he's doing. And from what I'm hearing, and I've talked to people again today about this second special session that's coming up, the three of them can't even get on the same page. There's fighting between the Senate and the Assembly, and both the Senate and the Assembly leaders aren't happy with the line of communication that they're getting from the governor. And so you've really got a clown show running our government right now, and that's why I wouldn't guarantee that the special session is going to start tomorrow. It's supposed to, but don't bet the farm on it.
We'll get an update from John Ellison, the assemblyman from District 33, way up north. And my understanding is that if he goes in tonight for a Thursday special session, he's got a six-hour drive ahead of him. So John Ellison will join us bottom of the hour. We'll find out what's going on.
And he's absolutely great, Kevin, by the way. Assemblyman Ellison is one of the few, and I mean, I could count him on one hand, true conservatives, and he's been there a while. He's experienced, and he is just absolutely terrific. And when I want to know what the heck is supposed to be going on up there in Carson City from a conservative standpoint, John Ellison's the guy that I call.
And let me just ask you, because I've heard this from a couple of places just in the last week, and that is the prospect that maybe, just maybe, Steve Sisolak will not run for re-election. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, I think it's absolutely possible. I mean, he's so bungled everything so far, and it's not getting any better. The only thing that he really has going for him, I mean, if the election were held today, he would lose to a yellow dog in an election if it were held today. The thing that he has going for him is that he's not up again for a little over 2 years from now. And a lot of voters, they have a tendency to forgive and forget when there's a long period of time in between elections. So that's about the only thing that he's got going for him right now, is that he's not up for another 2 years. But he is nowhere near out of the woods yet. I mean, he's got this special session, that $1.2 billion budget hole that they supposedly fixed in the first special session a couple of weeks ago, that's not anywhere near close to fixing the problem. As long as the state is shut down, and as long as we have the problems that we have ongoing today, that budget hole is going to continue to grow. It's not going to be filled in. He still isn't laying off any government employees. He still isn't cutting non-essential government services. So that $1.2 billion hole that they temporarily filled, it's going to keep growing, and it's going to be a mess come next February when the legislature comes back for their regular session.
Any thoughts on from the Republican perspective, who might be able to fill that gubernatorial void? Is there a Republican out there that you think needs to be out front, like right now or yesterday, to at least begin the remnants of what looks to be a campaign?
You're absolutely right. I mean, if there was a Republican candidate thinking about running in 2 years against Governor Sisolak, they should have become very much more high profile back in March when this whole first thing started. But no one has really stepped forward at this point and taken the opportunity to point out how badly Governor Sisolak has handled this situation. Now, there's two names that I've been hearing lately over the past couple of weeks. I haven't spoken with either one of them, so I don't want to give your listeners the impression that I have. So this is all just anecdotal scuttlebutt. But I've heard that there are people trying to encourage Congressman Mark Amaday, who's our current, actually he's the only real Republican leader that we have out there that's able to do something like this, Congressman from the 2nd District up in Reno. He may have an interest. I haven't heard that from him myself, but I do know there are others who are urging him to do that. And another dark horse candidate is Anthony Marnell III, who is the gentleman who built the M Resort in Las Vegas. And you know, he's obviously got the bona fides from the gaming community standpoint. He knows the industry. I know he has. Hey, he and I spoke 10 years ago. He had some political ideas back then. I don't think those ever really go away, and maybe he's seriously looking at it, and if so, I hope so, because he would be a very credible candidate.
I know that, I believe it is tomorrow, Adam Laxalt's going to be on with us. Does he still have a political future, you think, in the state of Nevada?
I think that he does, but probably not running for governor again. I think Adam's strength really would be he has such deep connections with the Washington, D.C. community, especially the conservative movement in Washington, D.C., which is how he gets so many high-name, you know, well-known conservatives to attend his Basque Fry that he holds every year. That I know you and I have been there plenty of times up in Gardnerville. His connections and his real strength lies in Washington, D.C., and I think that more than likely, and again, I've not had this conversation with him, so I don't want to pretend that I know his thinking, but I would guess that it would be better for him to run for the U.S. Senate in 2 years against Catherine Cortez Masto rather than running for governor again against Steve Sisolak.
Again, joining us, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach and the proprietor of Muth's Truths. I want to ask you, because the governor did this the other day, called a news conference, didn't really tell us much other than there are four counties, Clark, Nye, Elko, and Washoe, that are still under his thumb. The bars stay closed. Did you learn anything more in that other than the special session part?
No. The only thing that we learned was that, once again, here he's flip-flopped and backtracked. We were going to have these phases. We had phase one, phase two, and phase three. We got in the middle of phase two, and then he reverted back and put us back into phase one for, like, as you mentioned, the bar industry, and then so now he's getting rid of the phase plan altogether, and he's going to come up with a new plan, a non-phase plan that we're not supposed to learn about until next week, until Monday of next week. So the only thing we really learned from this week's press conference was that we're going to have another press conference next week where we might learn something new.
More coming up with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. We got a busy schedule. John Ellison will join us at the bottom of the hour. Michael Shouse from NPRI at 4:05. John Yoo, he is the author of a brand new book. He is a constitutional scholar, and the new book is Defender in Chief, Donald Trump's Fight for Presidential Power. So we got a lot to do. Our dance card is full today, believe it or not. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Headlines that affect you.
But as we address the how, we also have to know that we're addressing the why, and I think that's going to be critical in order for us to turn the page.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
R&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you, 702-644-8980.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. College graduates are responsible in part for a knowledge crisis regarding basic civic literacy in the United States. That, according to a recent survey, it revealed that less than half of college graduates surveyed knew the term lengths of U.S. senators and representatives. Now, does this lack of knowledge have lasting impacts on retirement planning? For answers, we turn to America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuda. Coach, financial knowledge, pretty important.
You know, an alarming stat I saw the other day, 70% of millennials, and I think that when millennials go up to age 35, Steve, I don't even know where they are there, but 70% of them favor socialism. That's worrisome. That means they don't understand true financial planning and real financial and capitalism. Without capitalism, we're all going to be in the same boat. It's like communism. They just call it socialism now. Keep this in mind, folks. If everyone is rich, everyone is poor. Porsche only makes a certain number of cars every year. They can't make 150 million Porsches, right? So we have to have the true knowledge of the financial world. Depending on others is not a good thing. So we need to put together our own plan as we get to retirement. Very important to make sure that we understand our own financial situation so that we can educate and show our children and grandchildren the power of positive thinking, the power of thinking on our own, the power of not depending on anyone but ourselves. You can depend on your own retirement plan if you get a retirement income strategy put in place. I call it a financial fill-up strategy, Steve. So many people don't have one of these. If you have a lump sum in a 401k, let's see what that lump sum could translate into as far as a lifetime income you can never outlive that does not depend on the market going up. For you to have a safe and comfortable retirement. The next 10 people, I'll do this for you at no cost or obligation. We've seen others charge over $1,000 for this.
Sounds great, Coach. Call now, 888-702-6932, 888-702-6932, or text Vegas to 21,000. That's Vegas to 21,000.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada-registered financial advisor.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
R&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you, 702-644-8980.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
.322 on this Wednesday, on this hump day. Great to have you with us. This is a big day for Jesus Jara. He is in the midst of a meeting of the Clark County School District. The Board of Trustees want to figure out if they can cut ties with him. Very interesting. And by the way, we've got that covered. We've got statements from Jesus Jara, Danielle Ford, just to name a few. Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. How much trouble is he in?
I think he's in big trouble. The problem is that the Clark County School Board is probably even more dysfunctional than the Sisolak administration, and we all know what that says. But he's in a no-win situation, as is anybody that's in that position. He's got to answer to a bunch of people on the school board itself, most of whom are hostile and think that they should be making every decision rather than letting the superintendent make the decisions and they just guide policy. But the biggest problem he's got is having to deal with the teachers union and the other education system unions who have very little interest in what's actually in the best interest for the education of our children and are focused primarily on what's in the best interest of their dues-paying members. And so it's the unions who are coming out after the superintendent right now, big time for the most part. Not the Clark County Union right now. They're kind of taking a neutral stance on this. But you really do have a real problem with the collective bargaining agreements that these unions negotiate in secret and then the superintendent is stuck with. And his hands are tied in what he can and can't do as far as making making decisions in an emergency budget situation like we have right now, he only can do so much. And plus, he's got to deal with the Nevada legislature, which is also dysfunctional. So he's really in a – it'd probably be the best thing that could happen to him would be for them to cut him loose, because his life would be a whole lot simpler. But that's not going to fix our education problems in this county.
And I was going to ask you, because the defense that the Jesus Jara people are talking about – which by the way does include the teachers union that has backed Jesus Jara, even though they've had their issues with him over time. The fact is that they're saying, well, at this particular time, with schools reopening on August 24th, we can't afford the upheaval of an interim superintendent and going through the process of finding one. What I find interesting is that this pits Steve Sisolak and Joni Ebert, the state superintendent of schools, against, well, a bunch of people on the board of trustees. Is this unusual to see folks that should be like-minded totally at odds?
Yeah, they it's kind of the Hatfields and McCoys between them right now. Now, there's a rumor going around. I want to stress, it's a rumor, it's only scuttlebutt that I've heard, Kevin, but that one of the reasons why Sisolak is going after Superintendent Jara so hard is that he wants to put the state superintendent in charge of the Clark County School District, his Joan Ebert. That's who he wants to be running the Clark County school system, so they're trying to oust Jara so that she can move over into that slot. Why she would want to go from state superintendent to county, I don't know. I don't know what the motivation might be there, but that's something that I think people should keep in the back of their minds if they're trying to figure out why there is such animosity between the Clark County superintendent and the governor of the state of Nevada.
Yeah, it almost puts Joni Ebert and the governor kind of on one side, and a very small side, because everybody else is lining up behind either Jesus Jara or don't do it now, wait till after the school year is over. We'll find out what happens. Let me just ask you about the governor's statement on Monday, though, that dealing with the going down to four counties, Clark, Nye, Elko, and Washoe. What happens this week? What happens on next Monday when they review? What do you think will happen?
My guess is that he's probably going to keep the bar closures in place at this point, because he doesn't know what else to do. He's just out there trying to do something to show that he's doing something. I mean, that's basically what it is. But I did notice in the Monday press conference, Kevin, he did say something that did strike me, where he admitted that he quite possibly screwed up in closing down all the bars. And I wrote about this immediately when he did it, because here he is saying that people are going out, his inspectors were finding that these bars weren't in compliance with his mask order. But even when he said that, he said 80% of them are in compliance. And so he penalized the 80% who were doing what he wanted them to do, instead of penalizing the 20% who weren't. And I think that finally came back and bit him, and he realized, oh, I really screwed this up. Why am I putting all these people out of work who were actually doing what they were supposed to do? So hopefully on Monday, even in the four counties that he has kept closed, I hope that he goes back and says, okay, I'm going to reopen them. However, we are going to have increased enforcement against bars. I disagree with it, but at least it's better than nothing. And let the 80% who were already doing what he had asked reopen, and let those people go back to work, and let those business owners start making money again.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what exactly happens. The president in Texas today. Texas has been a hot spot. Was it the wrong political move to go to Texas? We're hearing Texas supposedly is a dead heat between himself and former Vice President Biden. Was it a mistake to go to Texas?
I don't think so, because, as you alluded to, Kevin, Texas, as goes Texas in a way, as goes Texas goes the nation. If Donald Trump can't win Texas, if Texas is truly in play, if he can't win Texas, he probably can't win re-election. He has to win Texas. And so clearly, because of the difficulties that Texas has had in recent years, the demographics have changed a bit. They've got the same problem now that Nevada's been experiencing for the last 20 years. You got a lot of people fleeing California and moving to Texas, and they're taking all their bad habits with them. So Texas isn't the safe state that it has been in the past. So I think, yeah, the president absolutely needs to spend some time in Texas to make sure that he shores up his support there in that state.
Chuck, I love Muth Truths. Get it every week, sometimes more than once a week, and I absolutely love the stuff that's in it. If folks want to...